Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't know which would be the more difficult part, realizing that something's not right or having to tell your parents that something's not right.
Yeah, it's a very tricky thing to navigate, especially as a young girl. But I have very supportive parents, and I have always had a deep relationship with them, so it was fairly easy for me to, you know, let them know that there was something going on.
I have to think about what life was like in the 70s and 80s.
Yes.
There's no information.
Exactly. So that's what's unique about this book, is that it's a multi-generational perspective on the onset of the illness, the process of recovering, and all the issues that fed the eating disorder. In the 70s and 80s, when I was growing up, mental health was very taboo. No one talked about it. There was not a lot of information on eating disorders. My parents were at a complete loss as to what to do. They had six kids, trying to figure out how to manage and how to navigate all of that. Elena, growing up in the 2000s during the social media age, I can't even imagine. Now, mental health is talked about more. We're not good at it still. Not as good as we need to be, but it is more than, it is more of a topic that you can share than it was back then. So I think that what this book does is it provides information for sure, hope for both people going through this, as well as perspective for the loved ones of people going through an eating disorder that just really cannot understand it from a rational perspective. It often doesn't make sense when they're looking at someone who's often, dramatically underweight, or who looks perfectly normal, and they can't figure out why they are, quote, doing this to themselves. So we're hopeful that this helps people understand what goes through the mind of someone who's dealing with an eating disorder, as well as how we were able and are able today to manage those thoughts in a way that we don't go back down that dark path.
Mm-hmm. How young were you when you began to have thoughts that, and tell me what those thoughts were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my earliest memory of kind of despising my body was about 10 years old. I was at a doctor's appointment, and the doctor was analyzing my growth charts like they do at every mm-hmm. visit. And my growth percentile was maybe in the 60% for weight. I don't remember the number. But my doctor, took a deep breath and he said, you might want to lay off the snacks. So I have a very perfectionistic personality. So I took that as, okay, well, bye-bye snacks. And from then on, I didn't have an eating disorder until I was 16. But I always kind of used food and exercise as a way to control my life.
Missy, was it a similar thing? What was your age and what were your thoughts?
I was 6 years old. I write a story. I tell the story in the book that, I have a very vivid memory of Gilligan's Island, the theme song to Gilligan's Island playing to my right on the black and white television while I looked in my parents' full-length mirror and had this terrible, overwhelming fear that I was big. And I was very small. I felt like if I was big, I wouldn't be safe. And I mean, that's my very first memory. I remember exactly, I was wearing my school uniform and I was like, I'm big and that's not okay. And so mine started, my body dysmorphia, so looking at myself and seeing something that actually, a distortion basically, mm-hmm. Started very young. My thinking, I think that was kind of the overwhelming or underwriting theme of my entire illness and probably my life was that I'm not enough. And so I always felt like if I could look better, be better, be smaller, then I would be acceptable and that would make me lovable. And so I equated being thin and small with being lovable. And I'm not, you know, I think diet culture really kicked in the 1980s with the home video, exercise video revolution. Diet pills were on every commercial the way that, like, we have pharmaceutical, you know, mm-hmm. commercials now. That's how diet commercials were back then. And so I just really internalized a message that I was only going to be lovable if I was thin and small. And so as I began to grow and even develop as a young woman, that was terrifying for me. So my actual eating disorder behaviors began when I was 16 as well. And then in my 30s, after a series of traumatic events, I struggled with anorexia. So,
and I do want to know how you are now and how you are today.
I would have to say I'm 54. And I will say, and I have friends that I was in the hospital with. I'm sorry to say that several have passed away, but I still have friends that are still here and fighting and staying healthy and sometimes fighting still. And what I would say that seems to be pervasive among those who I know is that those thoughts, those tendencies tend to arise in times of deep stress. And I don't believe personally that that will ever go away for me. I realize almost every meal is stressful for me if I'm doing it by myself. And it's the thinking about what I'm going to have. It's the, do I have food in the house? I'm still intimidated by a grocery store. It's just something that I still struggle with. That said, I'm healthy. I don't dive into those behaviors that made me very sick or that where you would classify me as someone who is currently active in an eating disorder. But I do manage my thoughts regularly, and it's certainly more pervasive during times of stress or when there's a major change.
And I want to know that you're well.
I am well. I'm a college student. You know, that's something that I didn't know I would be able to do. You know, when I was struggling, I didn't know if I would be able to go to college and be away from my family. But here I am.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.